This episode is brought to you by Iams Pet Food. When you choose Iams dry dog or cat food, you can see a difference in your pet with your own eyes. Healthy energy in 5 days, healthy digestion in 10 days, and healthy skin and coat in just 25 days. Satisfaction for you and them. Guaranteed or your money back. Feed Iams dry dog or cat food and see a visible difference. Visit Iams.com/difference to learn more.
For decades, fans of the Washington Commanders were stuck with, you know, the worst owner in sports, terrible quarterbacks, you know, Patrick Ramsey. You remember Gus Frerotte? The RG3 mess, worst stadium in the league. Now they are as hot a commodity as there is. Players saying all over they want to play for the Commanders. What's up, everybody? Amber and Ian are on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80, Aaron Goldhammer, Mark Zeno with you. They have Marshawn Lattimore in. TV network salivating, Jaden Daniels mania. I don't know if there's a team in sports as hot and sexy right now as the Washington Commanders. I can't believe I'm saying it.
Yeah, I mean, look, we sort of went through this last year a little bit with the Houston Texans and CJ Stroud as they ascended near the top of the league, or at least as a team that everybody started to have eyes on. Their record wasn't as good as the Commanders this year. But that said, you know, what Washington has done, and the right quarterback changes everything in the NFL. It always has,
no doubt. Yes,
and so
does.
When you get that one guy, it just everything starts to work, everything starts to click, everything feels better. And that's what the Commanders are experiencing right now. Look, and this is a team last year that had one of the worst defenses in the league. They couldn't stop a nosebleed. You know, they were banged up with injuries, too, for a better part of the year, but their pass defense was terrible. And now all of a sudden you bring in Dan Quinn, who's been notorious now in three different spots, Seattle, Atlanta, and now Washington, even to a certain extent when he was a DC at Florida, at the University of Florida, guy who is just known about how to take whatever you have on your roster defensively and just make those guys look a little bit better together. The sum of the parts is greater than the whole, and that's what you're looking at with this Commanders defense. They just had Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, I have plenty of friends who are Commanders fans, and they're still singing hail to the you-know-what. So
hail to the Commanders.
It doesn't really have the same ring, but that's neither here nor there. Everybody in the district who's a fan still refers to it as the old team name, but all that aside, you know, they have wanted this for so long.
Yeah.
Like, they have been aching for this sort of make it relative again. I mean, I had that one season with RG3 where it came together and they got to the playoffs. But still, you could even smell the dysfunction with RG3 and Daniel Snyder. And there were rumors were going on all year long that he had a direct line to the owner. And things and decisions were being made out of, you know, the normal chain of command within that organization. And it fell apart very quickly. But again, I mean, you know, more than anybody, The fan base that has to look at the Commanders and go, why can't we have that, is right in the same division. Mm. And that's the Dallas Cowboys. Because when did all of this coincidentally start to fall in place?
When they got
after Daniel Snyder sold the team.
That's right.
Funny how that works when you let football people make football decisions. And what did the Commanders do? They got Jaden Daniels. And that is really the catalyst for all of this. And we know that Jerry Jones is not selling this team anytime soon.
No.
And that is something that the Cowboys and their fan base is going to have to live with. But it's not coincidence that all of this started to come together pretty quickly right after Daniel Snyder was out of the way and there was a new ownership. I mean, look, from the top down, Aaron, there are four things that you need to be a good NFL franchise. And if you look at the NFL franchises that are perennial playoff teams, they all have the same thing. Owner, GM, coach, quarterback. That is the hierarchy of the NFL. And if you have four of those, look at the Ravens. Steve Bisciotti. It used to be Ozzie Newsome, now Eric DaCosta, John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson. Go to Pittsburgh Steelers, right? The Rooneys, the GM, Mike Tomlin. And it doesn't even matter who the quarterback is at this point anymore because we've seen what he's been able to do. But for years, it was Ben Roethlisberger, right?
Sure.
I mean, when you lay out that foundation for an organization.
Kansas City, you know.
It's plain and simple.
It's the Hunts. The trophies named after him.
Right.
It's Veach.
Veach.
It's Andy
Reid.
And
it's Mahomes.
Patrick. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Even go to San Fran, right? I mean, look at that line that they've created there from John Lynch down to Kyle Shanahan down to Brock Purdy or whatever, Jimmy Garoppolo, whatever quarterback was there.
Yeah,
that is the formula for success. The Commanders are showing that right now with Josh Harris as a new owner and the right football people making the right decisions. And you got a good head coach in Dan Quinn. A little bit too crazy for me sometimes. A little all gas, no brakes, a little bit too much of that. But nonetheless, they're a fun team to watch, and they're going to be a playoff team.
Maybe you learned something blowing a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. You can be a part of Amber and Ian Nation and the Dr. Pepper call-in line.
We'll find out.
Say ESPN. Maybe we will. 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of the ice-cold Dr. Pepper. College football, it is a pepper thing. I was thinking about the Commanders today, Zeno, in these terms. It's a franchise that I don't root for. I grew up in Denver. I live in Cleveland. So those are the teams that I'm most closely associated with. But it's a team that the league is better when they're good, you know, and they're fun when they're good. And they have history of being good. And I feel better about the state of affairs in the NFL with real professional football going on in our nation's capital. Give me another team that you don't root for. I don't want to hear about, you know, your New York Yankees or Giants. You know, I want to hear about the team that you don't root for who has been on hard times, and sports would just be better if blank happened to be good.
I mean, look, I grew up, I'm a child of the 80s, obviously, so I watched a lot of heartbreak for this team growing up. They were so much fun. They had a good quarterback who was a lefty. They had a lot of charismatic wide receivers.
Yeah.
And you know where I'm going with this. And then all of a sudden it just seemed to spiral after Bernie Kosar left the Cleveland Browns. But the Cleveland is a team that, you know, when they are good and they are fun, everybody seems to – it was fun rooting for them the 1 year Baker was there and it was viable. Right? When they beat the Steelers in the playoffs, that was cool. That was fun. My older brother and I, we're Giants fans. We always, for some reason, rooted for Cleveland. Maybe it was Webster Slaughter. He used to do that funky little touchdown dance afterwards, you know. And Tom Jackson and Chris Berman, when they used to do primetime, they used to – the Webster Slaughter, like, you know, growing up, that was like – obviously, primetime still is the greatest sports show in the history of television. Those of you who don't know, Google it.
Speaking of which, Booger McFarland will join us coming up tonight on Amber and Ian a little bit later.
Right. So, yeah, the Cleveland Browns, for me, would be where I would go, at least in the NFL.
Well, people here in Cleveland appreciate you saying that, but also they don't want your pity. And right now they are as down as any franchise in pro sports, I'd have to think, given the state of the Watson contract and 2-7 at the bye week. And their GM gave a press conference today where he had to go out and answer a bunch of questions about a move that he didn't really make, the owner did. I'll give you one in the NBA that stands out to me. And they were good a couple years ago, but now I think they're mired in mediocrity, and I still feel bad for the fans of the Sacramento Kings that the Lakers kept beating them in the playoffs, in particular in that 7-game series, the conference final, that was some of the worst officiating I've ever seen in my life, and Robert Horry hitting an absolute dagger three off the tip back from Shaquille O'Neal. Those are wild fans. They saved the team in Sacramento, but they really haven't been super relevant in a long time. And I think it's a great market, oddly, for pro basketball. It's a nuts building. It's one of the best arenas, I hear. I've never been there, but it's one of the best arenas in all sports. I think the NBA is more fun, and I would totally get behind if the Sacramento Kings, you know, were to go on a run.
I would tell you, in baseball, I think that team is the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah.
You know, a team that has a ton of history and a ton of, you know, just, you know, great players and lineage. They've got one of the best, if not the best, ballpark in all of Major League Baseball. When you
place.
Look at it overlooking the Allegheny, I think that is. That's the Ritz, the Allegheny,
yeah,
the Monongahela.
The Monongahela.
One of those rivers.
The Three Rivers of the old Three Rivers Stadium, but
right.
That park is much more beautiful than Three Rivers Stadium.
And so, you know, the time where they snuck into the playoffs, the Andrew McCutchen years and everything else, like, that's another team. You know, and in the American League, I'd probably pick the Athletics. I mean, a team with a long history, and God, the suffering that they have gone through.
I don't know where.
And how many times they've been
play.
Snake bitten. You know, you kind of want them to, and the way they do it, which is really cool, right? It's always cool when small market teams do that.
Yeah, so those are the teams we tend to get behind. We wanted to pose that to you. 888-SAY-ESPN. Give us the team that you don't root for. I don't want to hear if you're a, you know, Miami Dolphin fan and you want the Miami Dolphins to be more relevant. 888-729-3776. The team you don't root for in sports, but you are rooting for them to turn it around. 888-729-3776. Do you believe the Commanders are a real contender?
No. Their defense is still going to be a liability. I mean, when push comes to shove, and look, there's a couple of teams around the league right now who are sitting there with legitimate records that aren't good. The Commanders have not had – they've had one legitimate step up in class this year.
Yeah.
And it was the Ravens, and they were beat pretty soundly.
Yeah.
Right? Like the Giants, the Panthers, the Bears, the Buccaneers, yeah. the Bengals,
the Browns,
the Cardinals. Yeah. These are not step-ups in class. They're not. You're going to find out over the course of the, really the next 3 weeks between the Steelers, Eagles, and even the Cowboys as a division opponent to a certain extent. And they have the Eagles and Cowboys twice left. They're done beating up on the Giants for the year, so they're your gift two wins. But you're really going to find out what they're made of and how good that they are. I'll give you a free pick right now. The Steelers plus three is a gift. It's a gift.
Let me grab my ESPN bet. In the meantime, we will get to your calls coming up because we got a bunch of them coming in. The team in sports that you don't root for, but you are rooting for them to turn it around, which is exactly what the Commanders have done. Up next, we know the Chiefs are 8-0. Zeno, can you name the other team in sports, in pro sports, that's also 8-0? Amber
Only
and Ian
because it's my job.
Are on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Producer of Amber and Ian is James Steele. He roots for the Kansas City Chiefs, so he knows his team is 8-0. I'll do the Zeno thing. The second best quarterback in the NFL plays for them. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Mark Zeno. Zeno, you said you looked it up, so you know. Give me the other 8-0 team in the world of professional sports.
Look right out your window there, Aaron Goldhammer, and see the Cleveland Cavaliers sit at 8-0.
Cleveland. Does LeBron put – no, LeBron is gone, and the Cavs have an undefeated team. They are taking on the Pelicans tonight. They are 6-point favorites on ESPN Bet, and I think the Bells are going to be without Zion Williamson. The other big game in the NBA tonight, there's another one, which is Boston and the Warriors. And I have a feeling Jason Tatum and Steve Kerr, there's going to be some interaction, Zeno, between the two of them after the benching and the Olympics and all the drama around the playing time. I know they might say that there's nothing extra going on here, but I got a feeling there's going to be a couple cameras on those couple guys if they have any interactions in tonight's game. What do you think?
I mean, look, I think that, when it comes to Cleveland this year, for a team that wasn't very offensive over the past couple of years, even when they added Donovan Mitchell, they're top five in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. They are playing the right way. They're making it fun and interesting. And again, the scoring thing to me to go with their defense sometimes is really what is going to be interesting. Their last three home games, 116, 120, and 134 against the aforementioned Lakers. So, it's a long season, and Cleveland may be able to build up a big enough cushion where they stay in the top two or three, which would kind of be paramount for them. But at the end of the day, Cleveland is not better than Boston, at least not yet. And until they clear that hurdle, they have some work to do.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they have to win a title this year in order for them to have a successful season, but I think it's amazing. Last year, they had four guys that all were potential all-stars. You get a new coach in there. You have a little patience with your team. You know, you don't panic and make a bunch of unnecessary trades. I think this happened with Boston, too. There was how many shows did you do with somebody's, you know, who wanted to try to trade Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown? And then eventually they got it figured out and worked out. They're off to an awesome start. So Cleveland and the Pelicans tonight. And then we also have that Celtics-Warriors game with the drama around Steve Kerr and Jason Tatum. Renee in Texas is up next on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio with a team you don't root for, but you want to turn it around. What's up, Renee? What's up, Renee?
Well, I mean, I root for them, but I'm going to go with my ride-or-die Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, that's a good one.
They're one of the few teams, you know, they've never been to the World Series, you know. And I'd say this, Renee, they're a pretty good team right now. You know, it's not like they're the dregs of the American League West. I don't know that they're World Series contender, but they've been all right.
And then you throw my Raiders in there too, but really.
The Raiders, thank you, Renee. The Raiders are an interesting one because they are a great brand, you know. But since they moved to Vegas, it's just not the same. You know, I was there for a game earlier this year. Their fan base is totally fractured. That's like a stadium now where a bunch of visiting fans go.
Right, but again, for me, when I see the silver and black again, being my age, you know, growing up in the 80s, that was the preeminent brand in the league. And you know, more as much as the Cowboys were there, it's still being a Raider meant a lot. And just seeing that uniform on a big stage always looks cool to me. It always will.
Justin in L.A., maybe the best uniforms in sports, I hate to say, because I hate the Raiders. Justin in L.A. is next up on ESPN Radio. What's up, Justin?
How's it going, guys? I'm waiting for the Democratic Party to come back. These horrible candidates we've had the past few years.
Justin, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate the call.
Did he not understand what the point of the show was?
Was he calling the right network? David in California is up next on ESPN Radio. Hey, David, give me your team.
Hey, David, give me your team.
David, turn the radio down, man.
Turn the radio down, please. Come on, guys.
Raiders.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
David?
Hello?
David? Yes. I can't hear him. Zeno, can you hear him? David?
Yeah, I can, but don't worry about it. We missed. We missed our window. That was stumbling out of the starting gate like we haven't seen since Barbaro.
All right, so let's just recap for a moment, shall we? We took three calls in about the span of a minute, okay? And everybody's welcome to call the show. I know we're professional broadcasters and you're not, so I don't want to make this, you know, ripping out the fans or whatever. Okay, the first guy hardly said anything. The second guy was talking about God knows what. And then the third guy was not even there. Like, if we're going to open it up to you at 888 say ESPN, Dr. Pepper is sponsoring this call-in line, Zeno. We got to do better for our friends at Dr. Pepper, don't we?
I'm a big fan of Diet Dr. Pepper, not going to lie. It's pretty tasty.
Yeah. Do you want to try one more?
Let's do it.
You say try one more. Matt in Charlotte, the power of the caller, Matt, is in your hands. Use it wisely.
Okay. Hopefully I do this right because I live in Charlotte. I'm not going to go for a team I root for. But the Portland Trailblazers, that area loves their basketball, and they're horrible right now. And I hope they get better.
Yeah, they're bad.
You know what's funny? They won that fluky title with Walton when they were sort of – and then they've had good teams. But what are they known for, Zeno? They passed on Michael Jordan. They passed on Kevin Durant. Other than that, the history of the franchise is great. And those markets where there's only one team, because I brought up Sacramento, they love that team more than any other market just about that you'll find. And that's the only pro sports team in Portland.
Yeah. And again, I think that you go back to a team that has – it's always these teams that had a lot of history prior to, like, our age group being adults. Right? Like the Clyde Drexler days were pretty impressive. I mean, they couldn't get past the Bulls, obviously. But, you know, they had a nice run there. in the early 90s that, you know, couldn't get over the hump. And,
they're,
you know,
two finals. They were in a conference finals a couple of years ago. I always wanted Dame to win a title there, and I think Dame wanted that too. But now, boy, that is how many Portland Trailblazers can you even name? That is one of the most nameless. Is DeAndre Ayton still wandering around up in the Pacific Northwest somewhere? I think he is.
I think he is.
I'm trying to think about how many Blazers I could even name for you on the current roster right now. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Mark Zeno. We're in for Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Let's just talk briefly about this Warrior-Celtic matchup tonight. There's all the drama, right, around the Olympic team with Jason Tatum and Steve Kerr. Is this a thing to you, Zeno, the playing time that Tatum did or did not get while over in Paris?
I mean, I don't know why we're going back to this. What does it matter? They won the gold medal. And this is what I said all during the Olympics, all during the summer. Nobody cares about this team. The only thing that they care about is whether they win the gold or don't. It's a very simple transaction. I mean, you know, again, trying to even think who the starting five were at this point would be a challenge for me. I've done such a brain dump on it. This is so not a consequential thing at all. They won the gold medal. That's the only thing that matters. And we only really care if they're in danger of losing a game. And I told everybody, listen, you know, I'm here for the chaos. I was more interested if they lost. I only cared if they lost. I didn't even care if they win.
Well, you're talking to a big Denver Nugget fan that was, you know, I feel bad saying this to one of our great servicemen, and I see the American flag hanging behind your head right now. But I was kind of rooting for Serbia just because it would have been such a – not that I don't want an American to win. Just because I thought it would have been such an amazing story if they had pulled it off. I agree. Jason Tatum won the NBA championship, did he not? He got a giant contract extension, did he not? He's now like one of the highest paid players in all of sports. He won a gold medal, and yet somehow people talk about him like he didn't have a great summer. That's one of the all-time summers that I could ever think about in the history of sports. So I agree with you. If Tatum is angry, he's going to take it out on the Warriors tonight. I don't know. I'm interested. Both those teams have been good to start this season. Up next, we talk to a two-time Super Bowl champ on Amber and Ian right here on ESPN Radio.
Ah, fall Saturdays. The air is crisp. The game is on. Your friends are here, and you're outside on grill duty. The Home Depot knows missing the game is not an option. Thankfully, the Traeger Timberline XL Grill is here to help you play defense and make the most of every Saturday. First up, we've got fans to feed, and the Timberline XL is a real crowd pleaser. It can bake, smoke, sear, fry, and saute, so you can feed everyone at the watch party. Whether you want sweet, tangy ribs, jalapeno poppers with a smoky kick, grilled street corn, or some classic buffalo wings, this utility player can do it all. And with Wi-Fire tech and the Traeger app, you can monitor your smoker temp, meat probes, and pellet levels all from the comfort of your couch. So you can watch the game, not the grill, and never miss a moment. Defend your game time with Traeger and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPN pod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPN pod at checkout.
For Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, we're on Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Mark Zeno. We are in for the gang tonight, and it's time for us to welcome in ESPN football analyst. He knows college. He knows the pros. He talks it all with us. Booger McFarland joining us on Amber and Ian. And Booger, let's start with the college game and the releasing of the first bracket that we see last night for the college football playoff. What was the first big thing that jumped out to you when you saw the 12-team bracket in actuality for the first time?
Well, there's a couple things that jumped out. Number one, how low Indiana was. I think when you look at an undefeated team from one of the two biggest conferences, being the Big Ten, one and the SEC, Indiana's undefeated. And I get it. The strength of schedule is not very good, but everybody they played, they pretty much dominated. I think if you took the emblem off the side of the helmet and I told you a Big Ten team at this point in the season was undefeated, you'd think they'd be ranked a little bit higher. I think that was number one. The second thing was the fact that they have Ohio State ahead of Georgia. And to me, that signals that the committee values the loss at Oregon for Ohio State more than they value the loss at Alabama for Georgia. I think Georgia has a better win by beating Texas at Texas. I think that's a better win than Ohio State beating Penn State in Happy Valley. So those are the two things that initially jumped out.
Interesting on Indiana, Booger, because I don't think they could have been ranked higher than 8 given the schedule that they played. I mean, the committee told us that strength of schedule and strength of victory are going to matter more. Now, we know their strength of victory, obviously, is there with all these double-digit wins. But, I mean, they have not had a step up, a legitimate step up in class at all this year. I mean, it's fair to ding them on their schedule.
Indiana is behind Penn State. Penn State has lost a game. They're in the same conference. They have one common opponent. Penn State struggled to beat UCLA in Happy Valley. All right, and when you look at Indiana, they went out to, Palo Alto or wherever, Los Angeles, and they beat the brakes off UCLA. So I hear you on the strength of schedule, but are you telling me that Indiana should be behind Penn State? They're in the same conference, one team has a loss and the other one doesn't? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying here is that when you look at the body of work and you look at the quality of the team, that Penn State would probably be a touchdown favorite over Indiana on a neutral field because they're that much better than they are.
But that's not the job of the committee, is to use the eye test, because if that's the case, why are we playing the games? And so now we get back into that situation where, well, the committee is going to say on a neutral field, well, their job is to look at what they've done and tell me who the better team is. If we're going to go by, well, here's what I think, then there's no need to play the game. Let's just put Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, and Oregon in there and not even play the game. So that's why I don't want to go down that road.
But Booger, by that argument, though,
and point spread.
By that argument, Army's got strength of victory over everybody. They're undefeated. They're 25th. How come they're not in the top 12?
Army is not in one of the Big Two conferences. And by Big Two, I understand they're Power Four. I get that. But I'm talking about the two conferences that run college football. Okay, let's just be honest. The
right.
Big Ten and the SEC. And there's not another team from those two conferences that if they were undefeated would not be ranked higher. And now Army is an outlier because Army is not a part of one of those two conferences. So I hear you on Army. I think Army should be ranked a little higher, but I don't think they should be ranked in the top 10. But Indiana is getting just blatantly disrespected by, one, being ranked so low, and two, being behind Penn State. Penn State has lost a game. They have lost the game. Indiana has not. They're in the same conference. Like, I don't know how much more simpler that it could have been for the committee, but they clearly ignored it.
Booger McFarland with our CSPN football analyst. We've been talking about this the last couple nights, and Booger, I think that it's as important winning games as having quality losses as your losses, and also how you play in the losses matters. How important do you think that is to try to determine who is in and who is out ultimately? How you and how close your losses were?
Hey, last time I checked, there's an old saying where I come from, whether it's 1 or 20, it's still a loss. And so, you know, we can give a team credit. Well, they played the game. I'll give you a prime example. The Georgia-Texas game was closer than the final, wasn't as close as the final score indicated. The Alabama-Georgia game wasn't as close as the final score indicated. And so we can fall in a trap by looking at these final scores and saying, yeah, they lost, but it was close. I think we try to make this thing, which is very complex now that we have 12 teams, how do we make this simple? I'm going to give you credit for who you beat. I'm going to ding you for losing the game. Okay, now if you get housed in the game by 3 touchdowns, obviously that matters a little bit more. But a loss is a loss. I'm not giving you credit for you lost. And so that's kind of how I look at it. I'm going to give teams credit for winning and beating really good teams.
So by that measure, Booger McFarland joining us here, Amber and Ian, Mark Zeno, Aaron Goldheimer in for the guys tonight. But then is BYU equally as disrespected?
Absolutely. I haven't got to BYU. You just asked me what stood out. I got a list of things that stood out. Those were just the first two. BYU is being disrespected also. I mean, BYU is a part of the Big 12, and they are. I mean, they got some really good wins. And you're going to tell me, because here's the thing. If you look at where BYU is located, okay, and look at where Boise is located, I can give you a scenario where if BYU slips up, all right, you can see a scenario where Boise is ranked ahead of BYU. And, like, so this is going to be very tough this year, and here's why. Because these Power Four conferences have become gigantic. Like, they got 16, 18 teams in them, and everybody can't play everybody, and everybody's schedule is not going to be equal. So how do you differentiate between these teams? Okay, I look at Indiana and Penn State. They're in the same conference, the exact same conference. And in that conference, one team's undefeated and one's not. But the team that has a loss is ranked ahead of the team that doesn't. That seems pretty unfair to me.
Booger McFarland is on the committee, I think, with Mark Zeno. And I'm enjoying the back and forth here on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Let's go quickly to the NFL. I think one of the biggest stories in the league is Jaden Daniels this year. Boog, how impressed have you been? Do you think this has a chance to be one of the best rookie seasons a quarterback has ever had?
Well, I think it's already going down that road. I think before this year, we would say CJ Stroud had that kind of that award. But I think Jaden Daniels right now is putting together a rookie of the year season. If he continues down this road and they win the NFC East, which I think they're the best team in the East, I don't know, still a lot of football to be played. If the Washington Commanders win the East and he continues this play, you got to put him in the MVP conversation, right? And when's the last time a rookie quarterback not just won the MVP, but was in the conversation in December? I think Jaden Daniels has that opportunity. He's got a big one this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Can't wait to watch that game because the Steelers – were one of the few teams that handled Lamar Jackson early on in his career by some scheming some defenses and such. So I can't wait to see what they do with Jaden Daniels. But, yeah, he changed the whole franchise to the point where they became buyers at the trade deadline. They got Marshawn Lattimore to shore up a defense. That tells me that not only do we think the Commanders are good, they think they're good, but that they're willing to put their assets behind it. So I feel really good and really happy for Jaden. Obviously, I'm rooting for him being an LSU guy. But I'm more happy for what I consider the Redskins. We call them the Commanders right now because that's one of the true kind of pillars of the NFL. Like baseball is good when the Yankees are good and the Red Sox are good. Like, the NFL is good when the Giants and the Commanders are good and the Raiders are good. So I'm really happy for that city.
Booger, when you look at the NFL, as we sort of make the transition here, as the trade deadline passed, your reactions to that, and obviously the Cowboys making a trade for a wide receiver clearly was going to move the needle for that team.
Yeah, I think I like everyone else. I'm really not sure what Dallas is doing. I'm not going to guess. I think Jerry has been one of the smartest businessmen that the league has ever known. He does a lot of things right. I'm not sure what the organization is doing from a talent evaluation or talent acquisition standpoint. So I'm not going to guess. I just know that they're not a very good football team right now, and a wide receiver is not going to help them become any better. You know, when you look at what the other teams have done, I think everybody's kind of jockeying for position right now because they want to be – it's kind of like a horse race. They want to – when they come around that final turn, they want to be in position. And you look at Detroit getting Za'Darius Smith. You look at the Commanders getting Marshawn Lattimore. You look at the Chiefs getting DeAndre Hopkins. Like, teams are putting themselves in position. That way they can be at full strength or as close to full strength as they can when they come around that last turn known as the December and January.
Last thing for Booger McFarland, ESPN football analyst. You were traded during the season from the Bucs to the Colts. How do you remember finding out that you were getting dealt?
I got a phone call. Bruce Allen, who was the Buccaneers general manager, called me after the trade deadline. So this was, you know, the trade deadline was 4 p.m. I got a call closer to 5. And this was before, I guess, everybody was leaking trades. So Schefter didn't have it beforehand. So I didn't find out until the GM called me. Bruce called me. And then 5 minutes later, Bill Polian called me. And the next morning at 10 a.m., I was on an Air France flight from Tampa to Indianapolis. And, you know, the rest is history. We went on to win the Super Bowl that year.
They only fly the real stars on Air Tran, like Booger McFarland, ESPN football analyst. Boog, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk soon.
Later. Thanks, buddy.
That's Booger McFarland with us on ESPN Radio. Up next, Dak Prescott is hurt. CeeDee Lamb is hurt. But the Cowboys were doing what at the trade deadline? We try to explain. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Whole Foods Market has Thanksgiving gatherings covered. First things first, reserve your no antibiotics ever fresh whole turkey today. Starting at $2.99 a pound. Or go with their organic spiral cut bone and ham. Full of seared in flavor. For sides, choose Whole Foods Market grab-and-go platters. Go even further and get your whole meal catered. Just order online by November 26th. Get Thanksgiving ready at Whole Foods Market. Terms apply.
Well, I guess it's ESPN Radio, so we're obligated to talk about the Cowboys, but I'm still trying to figure out what the heck they're doing and why they're doing what they're doing. Amber and Ian's on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Mark Zeno. You can hit us up. Dr. Pepper call-in line is open. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So, you know, they should have been sellers, but for some reason they were buyers, and they actually gave up a pretty good asset for a receiver that I didn't even really know was in the NFL, in Jonathan Mingo yesterday. And I think if you're a Cowboy fan, rightfully confused is the way that I would describe your state of affairs. What do you think?
I mean, you're being awfully generous, but rightfully confused. I would be more like angry, pissed off, and flat out despondent at this point in time. Mm-hmm. To your point, to quote Will Ferrell in Wedding Crashers when he's talking about his mom, I never know what they're doing back there. What are they doing back there? That's kind of what it feels like. You know, I never know what they're doing. And what are the Cowboys doing? I mean, again, a perpetual state of chaos, a perpetual state of just, you know, moves that are independent of one another. They're not connected. They're not, you know, building towards something. And it just looks like, you know, each week they're going out there trying to win a game with all these independent parts working together. This isn't a team. This doesn't look like a team that's playing for each other. It doesn't look like a bunch of guys who are going out in the field, you know, trying to figure out a way to do everything possible to win a football game. Yeah. Now, again, I'm not saying that to slight anybody in that Cowboys locker room. I don't know exactly what they're talking about, what they're doing. But it just from the eye test, when you look at it and you look at it openly, you're not seeing something that looks cohesive.
Right.
And so what are these moves? What is the plan? We don't know.
I don't understand. I mean, I think they were confused about whether they really wanted to pay CD and Dak. And to be honest, I could have understood if they decided to deal Dak Prescott for multiple number one picks because they didn't think he was good enough to take them all the way to the Super Bowl. That would have been committing to a direction. I don't know what the direction looks like now. Jerry Jones does two segments a week on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas.
Unreal.
And he said this before the trade deadline about the state of the Cowboys. Take a listen.
We're not selling. And so we will make that case. We're buying and not selling.
Well, why? I mean, you're 3-5. Pretty much you got to run the table if you want a shot at the division, and you got to get real hot real fast with Cooper Rush playing quarterback if you think you're going to make a playoff run.
And that's not a recipe for success.
No.
The only thing Cooper Rush will rush you to is the offseason.
Yes.
That's about it. Sorry, Cooper. I mean, we don't have a big enough sample
size.
Hold on.
He won a few games a couple years ago, but that was a different Cowboy team than this one.
Not only that, again, winning a couple of different games and erasing a four or five-game deficit in the division are
right.
Completely different scenarios. You want Cooper Rush to make a spot start here and there or 2 weeks in a row while somebody's injured? Sure. We can live with that Cooper Rush. You can't live with him starting an extended period of games trying to dig out of a hole. It's just not the recipe for success.
So the other thing going on here to me, not just trading a fourth-round pick for Jonathan Mingo, I don't know. I'm not going to make a capital case about a fourth-round draft pick. It's more ideologically that I don't understand where they're at. They're kind of throwing Micah Parsons back in there. So they're essentially saying that they don't want to slowly walk him back in, that he's going to be full go and back. And I don't know. I think he's the one real franchise cornerstone for sure that the Cowboys have. Here's Parsons, Cowboys linebacker on Jerry not selling at the trade deadline.
You know, I talked to Jerry. He came down and, you know, he watched me work out last week, and he was just like, I've been here before, you know. Starback called me. He was like, we was 3-5, and we still made a run. So that gives Jerry his old-school beliefs. And, you know, when your owner believes in it and he truly believes these are the right guys, you know, that gives confidence into the guys in the locker room. It should, because, you know, your owner believes in you. Even though you haven't had the most success and things aren't going your way, he still believes that, you know, you can still do great things. And honestly, you should. This is, we've been a winning team, a 12-5 team the last 3 years. And, you know, we got more losses at this point than we ever had. But, you know, the high hopes and the players are still here. We just got to stop beating ourselves. And that's the penalties and things like that.
This is a team, you know, that I think has a good owner, but a bad general manager. And the problem is that the owner and the general manager are the same person. I understand an owner wanting to send that message to the locker room, but also somebody needs to be the steward of the franchise and not pipe dreaming or just making moves so that you can, you know, they made that move kind of because I think they wanted to be a topic, because I think they didn't want the deadline to go without them doing something.
I mean, Micah Parsons sounded like that guy in the group of friends who was telling their goofy, ugly friend to go ask out the hot girl. Sure, yeah. It's, we have faith in you. Sure, we do. Yeah. Go ahead. When in reality, all they're going to do is laugh at him when he fails.
Yeah.
That's what that felt like. I mean, objectively, again, I understand. We talked to Herm Edwards earlier in the week. I get it. Players and coaches look at things differently than fans and people in the media and everything else and kind of what the expectation is. And, you know, they go out there and they try to win a football game. I get all that. I'm not saying that those things don't hold true. What I am saying here is that, you know, being objective about where you are and what the situation is, not only now, but for the future currently, is, you know, a big problem that the Cowboys have to address, and they're not doing anything to do it.
I also think their head coach is on one of the hottest seats in the league, and my guess is they're going to make a coaching change, Zeno. If you had to guess, it could be McCarthy, it could be somebody else. Who do you think the coach of the Cowboys is going to be in 2025?
I mean, not Mike McCarthy is probably the easiest answer. I don't know in what world you can bring him back and hope for different results at this point in time. And that's not a referendum on McCarthy as a coach saying he's good, bad, or indifferent. That's merely just the reality of, you know, if it's not working, you've got to change something in order to make it better. Yeah. And that's, you know, hanging on to McCarthy right now doesn't feel like that answers that mail at all.
Yeah. Well, I talk about two guys. Do you think Bill Belichick would ever seriously consider taking this job or no?
No, not at all, because, again, Belichick needs to be in a place where he has more ability to make decisions freely without – I mean, Robert Kraft gave him a whole lot of leeway and authority to be able to do what he wanted to do. And I'm not saying Belichick is a control freak and can't work with other people. We have no evidence of that. What I'm saying here is that, you know, Bill wants to pick the groceries and Bill wants to, you know, make the meal, and he wants to do a lot of these things, and you got to give him the bandwidth to do it. You know, I think – Bill goes, and again, the Dallas market and the Dallas media is not serving Bill Belichick well at this point. He needs to go to someplace that's different. They could fire Zach Taylor, put him in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Or in a Cincinnati.
Yeah. You know, Jacksonville might even be appealing to him if he has.
Giants?
Well, that would be, I mean, a pipe dream for Giants fans. I mean, it would be fantastic, but I don't think that it is actually.
I know it's an organization that he's always respected. I just think that if Jerry's going to move on from McCarthy, hiring another coordinator guy isn't going to get – I don't know that Ben Johnson is going to get everybody feeling better about the current state of affair for the Cowboys. Maybe he'd be really good. He's the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. He's probably the hottest coordinator on the market right now. But I think that's where certainly the conversation is going. Look, Dak is going to be out with this hamstring injury at least 4 games. By the time he's eligible to come back, their season is going to be absolutely toast if it's not already. And then you also are going to be missing CeeDee Lamb. It just feels like they're having totally the season from hell. They're having the season from hell. And Next year, they might be able to roll it back and look like the team they've been for the last couple of years, but this has totally come unraveled for them this year. Inability to run the ball, inability to stop the run, no toughness, bad defense, guys on different pages doing it. I mean, it is a mess.
It's crazy how after week one, when they rolled into Cleveland and spanked the Browns,
yeah,
we all thought, oh, they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
They're going to be okay. And then they played the Saints, and look what happened.
Well, I guess we thought the win over the Browns in Cleveland was an impressive win. I think we've found out it doesn't take a lot to beat the Browns in Cleveland, given the current state of affairs here where I am. Up next, what does the path to a top four seed in the college football playoff really look like? We'll explain right here on Amber and Ian.